Coco Bastian, a musician and teacher, was adopted and raised in a household with six other children in Quebec, Canada.
Growing up with a Chinese sister, Eskimo sister, and another Asian from Haiti, sister, so another black sister like me. So the culture that we had then was basically kind of sort of my mom's culture, if you want to say, and where we were, like in French Quebec, you know, very sort of quiet town, very friendly, open-minded people.
Even in such an open-minded place, people found their family intriguing.
The press came to talk to my mother and ask a question, and they wanted to take pictures she didn't want of us, because that was very unique, that there was a single woman at the time. Because you have to think, Quebec City is like 20 years behind America, not so much in technology and everything, but the people are more country-like. They like to sit, they like to talk, they're more social with one another. And so that was a very unique situation for them. And I never really felt racism when I was in Quebec so much. And like I said, the it never came to our house, even in between my sister and I when we were playing and other people, that they would come and show us our difference in our face and say, "Hey, you guys, you're not brother, sister, you're not." I mean, people will say that sometimes, but we were laughing at that, because we know we aren't blood, but we know we also lived together and felt like family.
I asked her what things added to our identity or personality.
There's three different things that shape a personality, and so do mine. The first one is my lineage, where I come from, and which was a quest for my life to find out what was really running into my blood. And I think it's very important to know these things. And so I finally was able to know these things, but, you know, like when I was in my early 20s, so it took me quite a while to know, in that sense, what was my ancestor, who was my ancestors, and what I really had in my blood, which really created a lot of peace in me when I finally found out. But that's basically what it is. My identity, I think I just recently forged my identity. You know, that's what I was telling you, like, until you really know your blood and where you come from. So there is like social identity, and then there is a personal identity, you know. And and also the adoption forged identity for all children that were, because before you were adopted, you were abandoned. So for all abandoned children, there is right there a setup of looking for your identity. All the time, you know, wondering, is this me? Like, you feel all these things inside, but you can't see them outside a lot of time.
Yeah.
It can't resonate on the outside. So it creates an insecurity, internal insecurity, that you really don't know who you are. So it takes a while. It took me a while to find out who I was. You know, I think when I met my blood mother in my early 20s, that really helped me, at least on that side. I never met my dad, but I met her, and that really created a certain peace in me, that's for sure.
Although Coco and her sisters knew that they were siblings, there was a point in which she began to see their differences.
And that's when our blood was showing up more.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like my Eskimo sister, she was doing all kind of marine nuts all the times and taking them apart and putting them together. Her interest was very different. My interest was really into music. I was really seriously into music and singing and dancing and all that stuff. And I heard later that was also my father's, you know, my blood father's character.
The idea and wanting of America was strangely in her mind from a very young age.
I took my older sister, Chinese older sister, and I took her on a little bike and three-wheelers with a little thing where she can stand in the back. And the police found us 2 miles later. So it was in the middle of the summer, and I put our winter hat and stuff, because we were going to go for a long drive, because we were going to America. Well, I remember buying a yellow coat, and when I bought the coat, I said, "Oh, this is Philadelphia. I'm going to go live in Philadelphia." And I don't know why, but it looks to me that this was all in me, for my life, I needed to be with my father's culture, because I am my father's culture, and there was nothing around me that was reflecting that.
Coco came to the U.S. and went to music school. While here, she heard about a 9-day yoga course.
And I said, well, you know what, I'm going to need something like that. And for the first time in my entire life, after the 9 days workshop, I was walking, and it's very conscious and clear to me that I remember stating out loud, I am home. And then after I stayed at, when I went at the program there, and then I asked them and I applied to come back and do work exchange. And then I stayed there for 3 years, and that's it. I never returned home after that. Mm-hmm. So that's how I came to America.
I asked if she had always been making music and writing, even before she came to America.
I always was writing, actually, but more poetry in French. And then, but when I came, I was hesitant because I didn't know exactly. I was not in English. I couldn't speak English when I came here.
Yeah.
So it was confusing for me to know how I would express myself. And I kept writing in French. I always like writing, you know, writing, letting the song comes and writing. It's always from experiences. It's always like something happened and poof. You know, most of the time the melody comes first. And then sometime with lyrics, sometime without lyrics, but most of the time with lyrics. And it was nice because it was French, so I didn't have that conflict of, I can't express myself in English good enough to sing, right?
Since music is such a big part of her life, I wondered how much it impacted her identity.
I think it is my identity.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I think this is who I am to be born. I was trying to do other things in my life because, you know, being an artist is not... It's. I always say it's not a choice. Like a lot of people say, oh yeah, you're an artist, you know. Yeah. But it's not a choice. It's a choiceless choice. You can decide not to do it and feel like a zombie because you're not connected with your essence. You feel, I did it because I needed money and everything. And it was like, okay, let me totally, or just even thinking, let me forget about that.
Yeah.
Like some people say, grow up. But if you're not alive, you're not good for nobody, not even if you don't feel alive. So yeah, so that's why I call it a choiceless choice. You know, it's really. But then when you said yes to it, then it's amazing. You know, the life that opens up.
She told me that she believed that one's identity had to be influenced by other things or people.
I have something written there. I love it. It's a little piece of paper that says, you know, you never do anything. Anything of greatness can never be done alone.
Yeah.
And you can never define yourself by yourself alone. You always have to have other people because that helps you define who you are. Things that touches us, then we keep. And the things that do not affect us in any way, we let go. It's not for us. So in that sense, we're both. I think we are a little bit, the society like influence us, and then we influence the society in back as well.
Finally, I asked her what she felt was the top thing that made her identity.
Being different. It doesn't answer specifically, but it answers the state of mind of being different, not because I don't want to be like you, but because I believe that I am different, especially in this environment, I guess in every environment, and then every environment. And it's funny, I was reading something about that, that we're saying that, and God help me do what it is I need to do in this world, but they were saying that every individual that ever created anything, that amounted to anything and be remembered for anything at all in this world, were always unique and different. They were walking their own path. And for me, I guess it's the courage to do it. And see it unfold. Yeah. I don't even have to say how different I am. It's not me to say that. I can't say that. Because then I look at me from the outside. But if I just look at me from the inside, just thinking, the guts to follow that instinct, that first spark, that first initiative, that first, you know, move without questioning, you know. And you can see later how different or how not it was. But that's where I like to be.